Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program originally set to air September 15th and 16th, year of our Lord 2024. It is good to have you along with us this Sunday or Monday morning, whichever the case may be. I'm very thankful for this opportunity to share a portion of your day with you. We're going to be back in Mark chapter 13 one more Sunday morning. As I looked over the scripture preparing to come before you today, I thought, well, I probably should have tried to finish this up last week. But just to be true to our format, I am going to come back and finish up on these last few verses today. I'm going to back up to verse 19, and we will, like I said, Lord willing, try to finish this thing up today. We're talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Lord willing, next week we'll be in Mark 14, and we'll begin to speak about what many call the Passion Week, the time when Jesus Christ was preparing to be and ultimately was crucified. But today he is telling us still, and he did spend some time, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record how Jesus spoke to his disciples about his second coming. Luke's a little bit different view, if you will, but you know, in particular, Matthew 24, in my opinion, is a place that you can look and you can see the signs of the end. I mean, he tells us the things that are going on in our world today. And here in Mark, he echoes those sentiments, and here again in Luke, he will tell us again about his second coming, in a manner of speaking, before he is crucified. And so Jesus is telling us, he's telling his disciples, that he's going to come back. He says in verse 19, "For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created, unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things." One more time today, don't let these things take you by surprise. I mean, be aware of the fact that there are going to be people that can do miracles. There are going to be people that are going to do signs and lying wonders. I mean, when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's priest did many of the things that Moses and Aaron did. They turned the water into blood and other things. I honestly don't know why they did it. They just made it worse. But they did. And I guess you could ask the same question right here. I don't know why these guys are going to do it. It's not going to help them, not in eternity. It might for the moment. He says in verse 24, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken." I do not think this is anything that we have seen till today. And I know there have been pastors who have come out and said, oh, this is the blood moons, and this is this, and this is that. I don't think so. I could be wrong. I think this is something that when we see it, whether it's because of volcanic ash or a nuclear war, I think we'll know. And I do think it's going to be a time of dimness. I just don't think it's going to be an eclipse of the moon. That's a temporary thing. I think it's something that's going to be no way to get around it, that something is happening. And here's what's incredible. Those that have been deceived are still not going to come to faith, guys. It's not going to matter that, I mean, it's black print on white paper, but they're not going to accept it. In verse 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Now, I know we've already read this, the last thing I ever want to be is redundant. I don't want to bore you with, you know, going back over things, and I hope that I'm not. And here again, as I was earlier today, I was awake and I was just looking and I was thinking, well, you know, where does this week's lesson need to be? And I had been thinking previously, you know, hey, we hadn't finished up Mark 13. We need to get in there and finish that up. And I thought, you know, here again, I never want to be redundant. I want the message to be fresh. I want to come to you or wherever I'm at with something that's interesting, that brings people in, that brings people to Christ. And really, as I read this about this parable of the fig tree, I'm just going to be honest with you. I was thinking, you know, to me, and I have used this parable over the years. I've never expounded on it to my own satisfaction, but I just think about it. And I think, you know, my goodness, why can't we see this? And you know, you might think, well, Neil, I don't know anything about a fig tree. It's not that hard. You could say an apple, you could say a pear, you could say a, you know, an oak tree. I mean, when you see, and we'll see this a little bit even in January. I'm telling you, if the Lord doesn't come and we don't go, you can walk out in January, and I'm not talking about every tree, but there are some trees, in particular these pear trees that many people plant that don't have pears on them, and you'll see their buds beginning to swell. And as we get on over into February and on over into March, you'll begin to see leaves start to shoot out of some trees. Now, there are others that wait till April before they get started. They're kind of like me. They're late bloomers. But, you know, guys, you know, this is not rocket science. Jesus said, look around. Look at what's going on. And you're going to know when the day is getting close. Now, you know, here's where I'm at. And this last week, I let myself get pretty frustrated with some folks that I thought should have known better. And I was convicted about that. I thought, and I'm just going to tell you the truth. As I was looking over this, I was thinking to myself, Neil, you're not always going to have that microphone in your hand. You know, there's a day coming that I'm going to have to lay it down if Jesus doesn't come back first. And not only am I limited in the time of my life that I'm going to have this microphone in front of me, I'm going to be held accountable for what I say while I'm behind it. And I don't mind telling you that sometimes I realize maybe I need to be a little more tender. Sometimes maybe I need to realize that I was blood bought by the grace of God as well. You know, that just because somebody doesn't know better doesn't mean they can't. And I need to try to be as patient with people as God was with me, but boy, it sure is hard sometimes. I don't mind telling you. Now, sometimes when people preach like this and they don't go into details, I'm sitting there thinking when I'm listening to them, either tell me what happened or just move on. Tell us what we need to know. Guys, we can grow frustrated. Grow frustrated sometimes with myself because I think I ought to do better. Jesus Christ is coming back. And the truth of the matter is it doesn't get any better than him. Now, let's read for this scripture. And he says something here. verses 31 through 37, and in particular in the first part of this, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Now, guys, I know everybody, and myself included, when we read this, we should take note that Jesus said, even in his earthly form, he did not know when he was coming back. I cannot totally understand this, because I know that he was both all God and all man. But he somehow kept his human part from knowing when the second coming would be. But look at the other verse, in verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And guys, I know that there's some of you that's really worried about this next election coming up. And I'm not talking about the local stuff. I'm talking about the national level. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Read this again. Heaven and earth shall pass away. I mean, the things that are written in the Bible about the armies marching on Jerusalem, about the Battle of Armageddon, about all that stuff, it's going to happen. It says, but my words shall not pass away. If we rely on the Word of God, I don't know who the president's going to be come January if we make it that far. But I know where God's going to be, and that's on his throne. And I want to read to you these last few verses. He says, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now I'm going to try to work two stories in here as we close. And the first one was told about a garden, about an estate actually out in the, on the East Coast, somewhere in the Carolinas. And there was a man who had lived in America, and he had bought a very nice estate and had a nice house on it, nice grounds and this type of thing. And he decided to go to Europe, and he was going to stay there for quite some time. And so he had a gardener. And he told that gardener, here's how you can get in touch with me. There's so much money in the bank. Your salary will be paid. If you need something, you can acquire it, probably as long as it wasn't over so much, this type of thing. And he said, I'll check on you from time to time and, keep the place looking nice. And an old boy came by there one day, and the man who owned it had been gone for years. And a man was passing through, and he pulled in. He was talking to the gardener, and the gardener told him this story, and he looked at the place, and he said, well, man, this place is perfect. He said, the yard is mowed, the flowers are kept. He said, the trees are pruned. He said, man, this place looks like your master could come back tomorrow. The gardener looked at him and said, well, he could come back today. You get the point. We're supposed to be ready. Now, guys, I'm going to say something pretty quickly here that I may say again at New Hope if I have the presence of mind to say it. But, here again, there's a lot of people today worried about this next election, and maybe we should be. But I read something that somebody said the other day, and a lot of young people are saying this. And I may not agree with everything they say, but I agree with this. Who you vote for in November is not the most important decision you're ever going to make. The most important decision you're ever going to make is whether or not you choose Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.